Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
Hallelujah. This is, again, another day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you. I am excited to bring the Word of God to you once again. I pray you be blessed and encouraged and strengthened and get some more clarity about the time and the times in which we live so you can go further because God is still in control. Let me read our scripture. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Bless you, God's people. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a real popular, very, very familiar passage of scripture that we're going to continue to expound on. And let's read Philippians 4:13, King James again. And then I'll pray as normally. We'll go right into this word. It's going to be so encouraging for you. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Father, I thank and praise you again that your word is forever settled in heaven. Not one jot, not one tittle, nothing of your word from your word will pass away. Everything will be fulfilled. So I thank you and I praise you for the opportunity that you have allowed me to represent you in the delivering, the speaking, teaching, preaching, and declaring of your word. Let your anointing be upon the word tonight in a very particular, very peculiar and specific way. Set people free. Take away limitations and boundaries and set your people on a path, a truer, straighter path for glorifying your name. That's my prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to continue talking from this passage of scripture. And if you remember the last time I was up, we spoke from this passage with a message entitled The Competency of the Saints. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about the proficiency of the saints. I am so excited about this word, the proficiency of the saints. Proficiency is similar. It's really a synonym, but it's similar to competency, but it has some subtle differences, nuances, that I want to bring to you that will really bless you and strengthen you. So proficiency by definition, proficiency is the ability to advance. Please write these things down. You're going to really need these things. And particularly during this message, we're going to come back and forth to them. So proficiency is the ability to advance, be effective, and accomplish the things God has called us to do. I'll say it again. Proficiency is the ability to advance. You're not going to stay stuck. Corona can't keep you stuck. Isolation can't keep you down and keep you bound. You're too proficient. You do have the ability, and you're going to understand the ability to advance. You are effective. You may not think you're as effective as you were prior to this pandemic and all the other things that have taken place here in the year 2020, but I want you to know you can still be effective. And in fact, this is the time that the church has to be even more effective. And that's where proficiency comes in. And it's the ability to accomplish things, to accomplish the things that really matter to God, to accomplish things that are really kingdom in their origin and in their thrust. It's time to be kingdom proficient. And this is the season and the time that we're in. And this is why this type of message and this teaching is so vital, because there's some things we absolutely must accomplish. There are things, please hear this, there are things that cannot go undone any longer. There are things we must accomplish in this season. Amen. So, in order to be proficient in the kingdom, we must be faithful. Please write that down. In order to be proficient In the kingdom, we must be faithful. It's very important. We must be faithful. There is no proficiency without faithfulness. Proverbs 28:20, King James, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man or woman, a faithful person will abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Write this down again, please. I know that I might be going a little bit fast. I'm trying to slow down, but there's so much I really don't want to make this part two, because there's something else I want to preach and teach after this, but we'll see what happens. But I don't want to go too fast, but at the same time, I'm ready to go. All right, so write this down, please. A faithful man or woman, a faithful person is a proficient person. We're talking about kingdom things. A faithful man is also a proficient man. They are also accomplished men. Faithful men are proficient men, and they're also accomplished men. Faithfulness is what brings us to this place where we gain proficiency through consistent practicing of godly principles. Faithfulness means we are consistent in following Jesus. We're consistent in practicing kingdom principles. And that consistency built up over time leads to a proficiency. It's very important that you understand that. Proficiency occurs by virtue of consistently walking with God, following God, and obeying His word. We cannot be proficient in and out of the church, in and out of the word, up and down, in and out. We have to be consistent. That's what it means to be faithful. So, let me give you a couple examples. One of Abraham, and then I hopefully can get to what the Apostle Paul says about it in the New Testament. But when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, Abraham moved out in faith. Abraham had been serving God consistently, faithfully now, around 14 years or more. So he is consistent now. He understands some things about God, the word, obedience, and faith. Let's look at what it says in Genesis chapter 22 in verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the lamb of burnt offering? Where is the sacrifice? Isaac said, Daddy, I know what we're going to do. I know you're going to obey God. I know he told you to go and sacrifice on the mountain. I see the wood, I see the fire, but I do not see the sacrifice. See, even though, hear this well, even though Abraham didn't have everything he needed to obey God when he stepped out, he still stepped out in faith. So I want to encourage somebody that doesn't feel like they have enough. They don't feel like they can finish or accomplish what God called them to do. You don't have to have everything. Let me tell you, somebody been in pastoring over 20 years. Most of the time, we're not going to have everything. But what you do have, you step out in faith with that. If God has called you, if God has given you an assignment, you step out with what you have now. That's called faithfulness. We have to be faithful. Faithfulness is not waiting till we get everything we need to obey God. Faithfulness is saying, God, you told me to do this. I'm going to do it with what I have to the best of my ability. So again, Isaac says, I see the wood, I see the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. But that didn't stop Abraham. He went on anyway. When following God, you got to just go on
anyway. I'm trying to speak to somebody and encourage them. You just got to go on. You just got to, oh yes, God, I see it. You just got to pick yourself up, clean yourself. I know you've been beat up, damaged, wounded. I know people have written you off, said you would never get it done, said I don't see God in it, but you got to get up. You got to clean yourself off. You got to ignore what people say, and you got to move on with what God assigned you to do. And this is exactly what Abraham did. My brother, my sister, whoever I'm talking to, this is what it's like walking with God. This is what it's like following God, not always having everything you need, but following Him anyway. That's faithfulness, and that's the faithfulness that leads to proficiency. Let's look at verse 8. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for the burnt offering." Abraham said, "I know, son, I don't have everything I need to obey God, but God's gonna make sure I don't fail Him." Let me help somebody right now. God is going to make sure you do not fail Him. All you need to do is get up and walk by faith. All you need to do is continue to walk by faith. God is going to make sure you don't fail Him. That's what Abraham told his son Isaac. God will provide Himself what He's asking me to do. This is what it means to walk by faith. Abraham's walk of faith, Abraham's continual practice of godly principles caused him, hear this, to know that God would provide what he was asking Abraham for. It might sound like a riddle, but it's not. Let's explain it. See, understanding God's provision is what gives us an understanding of proficiency. Understanding God's provision leads us to proficiency. Provision, hear this, write it down. Provision is providing beforehand. Providing beforehand. That's what provision is. It's having the foreknowledge and the foresight to arrange what's needed in advance. God has the foresight and the foreknowledge. He knows the way that we take. He knows the path that we're on. He knows the gifts that He has given us. He knows the opposition we're going to face. So as we follow God, He provides what we need before we need it, so that by the time we get to the point and place we need it, it's already there. I came tonight to tell somebody what you're looking for might just be two steps in front of you. This is why you cannot quit. This is why you cannot stop. This is why you cannot even slow down, because you're too close to getting to what God has provided so you can be proficient. Can't stop now. What you need is just ahead of you. Listen. Listen to this. Don't ever forget this. A faithful person knows God is faithful. Simple but profound. A faithful person knows God is faithful, because the reason they're faithful is because they have seen the faithfulness of God. They have walked with God long enough to see God provide every time. So they know God is faithful, so it makes it easy for them to be faithful. If you don't know God is faithful, you're probably not faithful. But when you find out through following God over periods of time, you know God will never fail you. So you're going to be faithful because you know God always provides. This is how the saints understand and begin to walk in
their proficiency. Let's talk about Paul. Philippians 4:19, Paul says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And my God shall supply. God supplied Abraham's sacrifice. God provided for Abraham what he required from Abraham. He told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, but God provided the sacrifice he wanted from Abraham. God gave Abraham what he needed to obey him. God will supply what you need to get the job done. I, hallelujah to the Lamb, I could run through this empty church. God will provide what you need. He will give us what we need to obey him. That's just how good God is. This is a part of the grace of God that he provides for us what we cannot provide for ourselves, even to the point of obeying him. God gave Abraham what Abraham needed to accomplish his assignment. I'm gonna say that again. God gave Abraham what Abraham needed to accomplish the assignment God gave to Abraham. So God will always give you what you need to succeed and accomplish what he's called you to do. But what Abraham really needed, God didn't provide it until Abraham stepped out in faith. Because faith activates proficiency and provision. See, Abraham had to step out in faith. Abraham had to start off, hear this now, he had to start off with part of what he needed. Some people, I don't have long to stay here. Some people say, "I'm going to obey God when I get this, when this." No. You got to start where you are. You got to start off where you are. Everybody has to. There's no exceptions in this. You can't wait till you have everything in place and then you step. Not in the kingdom. And it really doesn't even work that way in the world. You got to start where you are. Somebody needs to get started right now. I'm prophesying. I'm encouraging. I'm lifting you up. I'm declaring and decreeing it over your life. You need to just start right where you are. Just start right now. Start right now. Start with your mind. Start with a ready mind. Start with making up your mind. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Watch proficiency begin to get activated in your life. So again, when Abraham got ready to sacrifice Isaac, here's what happened in Genesis 22:12. The angel of the Lord said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him." God says, "For now I know you fear me, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Abraham got to the place of provision and proficiency. So God assisted Abraham in the task he asked him to perform so that Abraham could accomplish it. Write this down. This will bless you. You see, God didn't want Abraham's son. God wanted Abraham's obedience. God didn't want Abraham's son. He wanted Abraham's obedience. There's some things God is requiring of some of you that you have not given him yet. And I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. The thing that you are to sacrifice for God. But that's not the thing God wants. What he really wants is your obedience. The thing is just a symbol of your obedience. Are you willing to obey? I'm talking to somebody. He doesn't want that thing. You don't, I know it's hard, just like Isaac. That was his only son. He waited many years to get this boy. And now God wants him? No, God doesn't want what he blessed you with. He wants to know, will you obey him at all costs?
because he's trying to get you to the place of proficiency. Trying to encourage somebody. Whatever you're facing, whatever's resisting you, whatever you need to accomplish your assignment, hear this, God is trying to help you. God is trying to help you. You're looking at how hard it is, and God is there like, don't you realize I'm faithful? I've seen your end from your beginning. If you just keep following me, I'll provide what you need. And you'll learn how to be proficient. You'll be able to accomplish everything I called you to do because you'll understand proficiency through my provision. God is trying to help you, but you must obey him. Oh, yes. Receive it. I see tears. I see you crying. But this is blessing you. This is strengthening you. God is trying to help you. And the enemy doesn't want you to see your obedience as help. The enemy wants you to see your obedience as pain, as loss. He doesn't want you to get to the place of proficiency. Because God has already provided what you need. All you have to do is just keep walking by faith, and you'll walk right into your provision. Hallelujah. Abraham had followed God for a while. We established that. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belongs to those that are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It takes time in the kingdom, time with God, to be able to discern good and evil, to mature to the place of proficiency. But it's time, and it's high time, that the church gets there. Again, Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man shall abound means have abundance. Abundance. You'll have all you need to do whatever God requests that you do. This is proficiency. This is where God wants every believer to get. And this is what Paul, as I'm getting into Paul here, this is what he's trying to get us to. And you may have never heard these scriptures put together like this. And I hadn't either until the Lord showed them to me. So turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. The Apostle Paul is telling the church how to abound in spiritual blessings so we can accomplish greater things for the kingdom. You know, I know you know, you sense it in your heart, in your spirit. It's time for the greater works. Shout right there. It's time for the greater works. Hallelujah. And that's going to come through proficient saints, through proficient believers. 1 Corinthians 1 and 5. Notice what Paul says. He says that everything you are enriched in him, in all utterance and all knowledge. So the Corinthian church, as you know, was a very gifted spiritual church. They were very gifted. They were very graced and gifted with the spiritual gifts. They were very, very gifted with all the spiritual gifts. And Paul makes that plain. But here he says, you're gifted in all utterance and all knowledge. What is utterance? Utterance is preaching, it's teaching, it's tongues, interpretation of tongues, it's prophesying, it's decrees and declaring. They were gifted in that arena, as well as knowledge. What is knowledge? It's the mind. It's wisdom, it's revelation, it's knowledge, information, discernment, understanding of spiritual things. The church in Corinth was amazingly gifted with spiritual gifts, the miraculous. All of the things that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he mentions it there because they understood, because they were very, very blessed by God with those spiritual gifts. But Paul gets to the place where he asks the church of this spirit, this highly spiritual, highly gifted church, to give money to churches that needed it. Paul says, I know you're gifted with spiritual gifts. I know you can prophesy. I know you can cast out devils. I know you're very gifted. You're very spiritually gifted. But he says, but I need you to understand something. There's more proficiency. There's more proficiency than just the gifts of the Spirit that you're very good at. I want you to get to the next level. Watch this. Watch this. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll begin at verse number 1. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Now Paul is talking about another grace gift, or another grace, or another gifting, or another spiritual anointing, if you will, that is not present at the church of Corinth. He's saying it's present in the churches of Macedonia. He says how while they were undergoing every sort of trouble, they were in trouble. My God, and we're in the greatest of need. They were in the greatest of need. He says they took all the greater joy in being able to give freely to the needs of others. Paul said these people were in great need. They were in dire straits. They had some major challenges, but there was a supernatural grace they had that the churches in Corinth didn't have. And Paul says, I want you to get the same grace that the churches of Macedonia has. I want that in the church of Corinth. Why? We'll explain in a minute. In verse three, he says, for they gave according to their means, and as I can testify, and beyond their means, as they're on their own accord. Paul said these people were in need. They were in dire straits. They didn't have a lot of money, but they gave supernaturally. There was a grace on those people to give, even though they had a need. There was a grace on these people to go beyond what they could give, and God kept blessing them as they kept going beyond themselves. My God. They kept understanding and growing in a proficiency that is necessary for every church to get. This is what Paul is saying. Verse 4, he says, they made an appeal to us, begging us to let them participate in the ministry of God's kindness and to his holy people. They begged to keep giving. Paul says, I want the church in Corinth to understand the grace that's on the churches in Macedonia that kept giving beyond their ability to give. You understand your spiritual gifts, but you're not proficient in the grace gift of giving. Now, why does he say that? Verse number 7, 2 Corinthians. He says, therefore, as you abound in everything, the church in Corinth, you abound in all these other gifts, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence. Watch this. He says, in your love to us, see that you abound in grace, or in this grace also. What is he saying? Paul says, man, you got prophecy. You got more prophets. They're so accurate. You got so many miracle workers. Man, everybody's getting healed. People are getting delivered. He says, you got that grace. You're abounding in that grace. You're proficient in that. But I want you to become proficient in another grace. I want God to add to your proficiency. And the only way to get God to add to your proficiency is that you abound in the grace of giving. Abound in the gift of giving. Giving increases your proficiency. Giving opens the door for us to be proficient everywhere else we're lacking. This is what Paul is saying. Again, the church in Corinth had become proficient in their faith. They knew how to do the signs and wonders and the miracles. But the churches in Macedonia had a different supernatural grace. There's no other way to explain it. These people gave beyond their ability to give. It's not natural, so it had to be supernatural. I understand that type of giving. Me and Pastor Deborah lived that way for many years until we got a major breakthrough because we were taught the grace gift of giving. Yes. So Paul's teaching the church in Corinth another level of proficiency, another level of the ability to advance the kingdom, to accomplish the will of God. So he says this level of proficiency can only be activated in your lives the same way it was activated in the lives of the believers in the church of Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Paul says, and God is able, hear this, oh man, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Did you hear what Paul says? Paul says, when you learn how to give supernaturally, God knows how to make all grace. I don't know about you, but all grace sounds like all grace. All grace. So that means there's partial grace. I don't want you walking in partial grace any longer when all of it's available to you. Did you hear what I just said? I don't want anyone walking in partial grace when all grace is available, so that you can begin to abound. It's time for the church to abound in all the grace that God has available for us. And this is what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 9, 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. Paul says, when we learn, like the churches in Macedonia learned, how to give even though we're in need. See, let me stop right there. See, I'm not insensitive to the 40 plus million people that are unemployed and the struggles that are going on in our country and around our world when it comes to employment, when it comes to finances, when it comes to making ends meet. But I'm talking to some people that are believers. I'm trying to talk to some folk that have faith, and I'm trying to build your faith up even higher. I'm trying to get you to the level of proficiency. I'm trying to get you to where Paul says God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Why? Because you're no longer looking for God to keep blessing you. You wake up looking for a way to be a blessing. You're not just looking at what you need. You're looking at how to meet the needs of others, even if you got to do without, like Abraham would have had it done without Isaac. He was willing to do without Isaac, excuse me, because he wanted the proficiency of God. He knew God was faithful. When you and I know God is faithful, we don't worry about if we're going to eat, drink, if we're going to have the lights on. You're going to take care of the needs of other people, because it's not about you, because you now begin to understand the provision of God based on the proficiency that you have grown to. Paul says, when the church in Corinth, and any church, the entire body of Christ, when we learn to give supernaturally, God will make all grace abound towards us, so that we always have everything we need. And anything and any assignment God asks us to do, we already have what we need to get it done. That's another level of maturity, where we're not walking and waiting for God to do it. It's already done. I'm trying to get you to an already done place in your life, to where whatever you need, whatever God wants you to do, you already have what it takes to get it done, and you know it. That is the proficiency of the saints. Paul wants us, he wants God's people to become proficient in all things, not just the supernatural, but the natural, not just tongues, not just ministry, but money. Yeah, see, learning to give supernaturally, not based on your need, but just giving supernaturally to be a blessing, is what makes all grace, all the grace giftings of God, constantly overflow in our lives. Isn't that what you want? It's what we all should want, because it's time to accomplish some things that God has put before us. We have been taught rightly to give when there's a need. I'm not saying that. We have been properly taught to give when there's a need. But activating proficiency, activating abundance based on 2 Corinthians 9, 8, is not giving just when there's a need. It's giving supernaturally. It's a supernatural anointing to give. I know big givers. I know givers. Just the truth of the matter is, and people that just give because they're givers, not because someone's in need or aren't always just giving to a need, but they're giving because they're givers and they give supernaturally. Those are some of those blessed people I know. See, Acts 20, 35b says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. See, those are saints that have become proficient. They know, my mother used to say, you can't beat God giving. My dear sweet mother used to say, you can't beat God giving. The more you give, the more proficient you become. One more scripture, I'm going to close. I know some very gifted people in the kingdom of God. I know some very gifted people, gifted in the miraculous, gifted in signs and wonders. But they lack money. They're very gifted, but they lack money, finances. And I also know some people in the kingdom that they have plenty money, but they lack the grace giftings of God. What Paul is trying to teach us is to have both. We can be proficient in accomplishing God's will. We can have the gifts, we can have the anointings, and we can also have an abundance of finances to do whatever God called us to do. But it only happens when we understand the grace gift of giving. I gotta say it, and I'm finishing my last scripture. Stop being a believer that only gives when people ask you to give. When there's a big need, oh, we got this project. Oh, you make the sacrifice. Abraham started out without the sacrifice. The most important part of his obedience assignment, he didn't have it. But he gave himself completely to the assignment. And God provided the sacrifice. Telling you, somebody hearing me, somebody watching, you're going to have to give yourself completely to your assignment that God has given you, even though you don't have everything you need. Because you're going to learn proficiency. You're going to learn that God provides. And as you continue to grow, and know that you can do all things through Christ, then you'll have everything you need. You will have abundance. You will abound. I speak it over your life right now in the name of Jesus. I speak growth and maturity, a walk of faith that's unhindered, unparalleled, unstopped, unhindered by corona, unhindered by the economy, unhindered by family, unhindered by business, unchanged, unhindered, unstoppable. Oh God, don't let denominationalism or any ism or any schism stop you or God's people from moving forward. It's time to advance. It's time to get to the level of proficiency so we can accomplish the works of God on a scale no generation has ever seen before. When these two come together, these two seemingly during Paul's time separate grace giftings, when we realize, my socorista, my God in heaven, when the body of Christ realizes you can both be anointed and have money at the same time, what great things will we be able to do? Ephesians 3:20. My last scripture. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to what the power that's at work in us. That's what I want. That's my prayer for the body of Christ. That's my prayer for CFFC Zion. I want God, the Holy Spirit, to activate this grace in your life. I'm asking God, the Holy Spirit, to activate this grace in your life so you can walk in proficiency. You can walk in everything God has called you to do and know with confidence when you start out, you will finish. You will accomplish the will of God in the earth. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. It's time to do the greater works that Jesus talked about. It's time to accomplish greater things. Bow your heads. Let me pray for you. God bless you. If you're not born again, I can only imagine the emptiness. I can only imagine the darkness that you feel around you. The hopelessness that seems to come and overtake you. And yes, you can shake it off for a few days or whatever, but it always comes back. I want to bring you into the light. I want to bring you into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. He is the light. He is the light in the midst of darkness. And once you step into this light, everything changes for time and eternity. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I don't want to be. I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I believe He'll save me right now. So I'm asking you, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me your son. Bring me into the light. And I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Fill me with your precious spirit and lead me into truth. I don't want to be deceived. I want to live forever with you and for you. If you've done that, if you prayed that prayer, you're born again, you're saved. You're in the light. Now you need to walk in the light and walk by faith and get to a level of maturity so you can walk in proficiency. Well, God bless you, saints. I want someone that's really been blessed by this word, that's really been moved by this word. I want you to sow a special seed. I've not even done that or anything like that since this whole pandemic has broken out. But I believe somebody needs to sow a significant seed into this ministry. Text your support at the number at the bottom of the screen. You need to sow it. Whether we need it or not, you need to do it. That's what I just taught. Don't do it because I'm asking you or just because I'm asking or because I have a need or we have a need. This is not about me anyway or about us. It's about what God or what I want and believe God will do for you. This is about you right now. Sow your seed. Be a giver. Let this grace abound in your life. You're probably gifted with prophecy. You probably have dreams and visions. Maybe you have a healing ministry. And the only thing you're missing is this abundant grace where you have all that you need at every season of your life. That's where God wants to bring you to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, love you. I know that word blessed you and strengthened you. Text us, email us. You got saved, you got blessed, because God is in the saving, He's in the healing, delivering, and blessing business. And I know you were blessed, because it's the word of God. Peace. Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.